Doing Spiritual Battle for Your Children is the ministry session we're about to hear from Mrs. Angela Wall. Mrs. Wall teaches the ladies' class, adult Bible class, at Lancaster Baptist Church, and is also a mother of five children. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Well, turn in your Bibles, will you, to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look first of all at verses 10 and 11. And the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." When we do spiritual battle for our children, we are battling against the devil. And we must do spiritual battle in our own lives and then spiritual battle in teaching our children as well. And so on your outline, if you found it there, number one is realize who Satan is and know his power. Satan is very, very powerful, but he's not as powerful as my God. Satan opposes the will and the work of God. He tries to destroy everything that is good. He hates that we're rearing children, young men and women, that are going to go out and do great things for God. He hates that. He hates that our teenagers are going soul winning and that they're coming to church and they're singing in the choir. And the devil wants to destroy their lives. And so we as moms and our husbands alongside teach those children to stay faithful to God. Realize who Satan is and know his power. He will try to destroy our children. Matthew 10:28 says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We are to realize who Satan is and know his power. And then the devil has great power, but he is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. Now, he can hear what I'm saying right now about him, but he doesn't know what we're thinking. He's not omniscient, and he can't be everywhere at once. So he seemingly is everywhere present, seemingly tempting believers, but he's definitely not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Let's say that together. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit is much greater and way more powerful. And the Holy Spirit lives within our lives, doesn't he? I love our theme this year in our church, "By His Spirit." And the Holy Spirit, the moment of our salvation, came to dwell in our lives and in our hearts and wants to guide and direct our every move, from the simplest decisions of which route to take to get to Walmart and which person to talk to here or what to do today at this time and what words, every word's out of our mouth. He wants to guide and direct those things if we will only ask and desire for him to guide and direct us and to lead our every move. Just as one would fear a deadly rattlesnake, we should have that same fear of the devil. And we would fear a rattlesnake's bite, right? And we would stay away from it, right? And we should have that same fear of the devil. Now, not overcoming fear, because God is way greater, but we shouldn't flirt with Satan or mimic or just make light or joke or jest about Satan, because it's very, very serious, his power that he has. Our third son, Alec, was bitten by a rattlesnake about a year and a half ago. And praise the Lord, it was what they call a dry bite. And we were camping. Our family loves to camp together, me especially. I love to be outside. And our kids, they were riding bikes and just having fun romping through the woods at a campground not too far from here. And a rattlesnake left his fang marks on my son's leg, but didn't have time to inject any venom. And so, of course, my husband rushed him to the hospital, and praise the Lord, the poison was just around the outside of the bite, but didn't get injected into his bloodstream. So that made me just remember once again how the devil is so quick And he wants to just get his fangs into our children, and he wants to destroy them. And we should teach them to resist the devil and to not joke or jest about the devil. I don't even like that phrase, the devil made me do it. You know, that's just joking, like, the devil made you do it? Well, you made the choice. He may have tempted you to do something, but you made that choice. So realize who Satan is and know his power. And then number two, remove. The next R is remove. Flee the presence of sin. Flee and don't leave your forwarding address. Just flee. Proverbs 4:14-15 says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of the evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Neither give place to the devil, the Bible says. We should not even let him take up residence at all in our homes. And we have to guard our homes, don't we? I mean, the devil can come in just through a commercial on the television. The devil can come in. The other day we had someone that was unsaved in our home, and they started to use an inappropriate word. And we wanted to, not allow that. But we sometimes let it come in on the television, don't we? Instead of making sure that gets turned off when there's something inappropriate on TV. So flee sin. Flee the presence of sin. Proverbs 4:27 says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And then when Satan tempts, don't give in. Do not give in. 1 Corinthians 10:13, will you read this verse with me? Do you have it there on your outline? Let's read it together. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. I love that portion of the verse that God is faithful. And we will be tempted, and God allows those temptations, but he's faithful, and he will make a way to escape that temptation, no matter what the temptation. We all have different temptations. A temptation maybe to gossip and to spread false truth, or even if it's true, to spread things about other people, or a temptation to eat too much. Well, that's a temptation I have every day. But those are temptations that we can try to flee and to live a healthy life and make healthy lifestyle and choices. Maybe a temptation, the devil probably knows that you as Christian women aren't tempted to, spend Friday night in the bar down at the corner. You know, that's not a temptation for most of us. But maybe it's tempting to listen to the wrong music. Or maybe it's tempting to look at things on the TV or internet that aren't appropriate. And we can flee those temptations when they come, and God will make a way to escape. Don't give in when Satan tempts. The secret to self-control is living under Christ's control. Again, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the Bible says. If we are to flee the temptation of sin, we must be walking in the Spirit. I've enjoyed so much lately my time with the Lord and just trusting him to guide and direct my every path. And it's not what it should be, my relationship with him, or what it could be. I think all of us are on that growing journey of getting to know the Lord even more. But know him, desire to want to know him and spend time with him. We'll get to that a little bit later. Number three, resist sin. So we're going to realize who Satan is, remove, flee from the presence of sin, and then resist sin. James 4:7-8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Do you see that when we resist the devil, he will flee? But we need to then draw nigh to God, and then God will draw nigh to us. So should we make that first move? He's already sacrificed his son and given us so many wonderful things to be thankful for. And now he says that we should draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to us. By resisting temptation from Satan, we demonstrate our love for God, and we build up our Christian character every time we resist that temptation. Satan cannot stand in the presence of the Word of God. So when you feel the presence of evil, begin quoting scripture. Have you ever been somewhere where you feel the presence of evil? Not our home where we're at now, but a home that we purchased, it's been several years ago now, 12 years ago, had a previous owner in the home that were very, very ungodly people. Wicked pornography on the garage walls, and I'm sure the music must have been horrific that was played there. And when we first moved in, I just didn't like the way it felt. And so I would walk around the house singing songs and quoting scripture and reading the Bible out loud. And anytime you feel the presence of sin, just start quoting scripture, because Satan cannot stand in the presence of God's word. And quote scripture or read God's word out loud. Quote scripture about Jesus' blood. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." I love to sing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Right? And sing songs about the blood anytime you feel that presence of sin, and all the time. Teach our children to resist wrong thoughts with scripture. Again, the word of God is the only way that our kids are going to make it. And train them when they're young. Many of you have very, very young children, and you can be teaching them God's word and hiding it in their hearts. I teach a ladies' Sunday school class, and the ladies in my class are 50 years old plus. And one lady that just joined the church on Sunday, she's 94. And so I love those ladies, but we try to memorize scripture, and it's more difficult for them. It's more difficult for me to memorize scripture. But as children, they can just pick things up so quickly. And so teach your children when they're young God's word. And I remember my dear mom, she still does. I was just there to visit her last month in Iowa, and she has scripture on the inside of the cupboard door where you do the dishes, and she would just always be reading and memorizing scripture. And so that's become a habit, to have little note cards with scripture written on it. And you can do that for your children, big posters with scripture on it, and teach them God's word. Have them hide it in their hearts. 2 Corinthians 10 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So resist those wrong thoughts with scripture. And every time a wrong thought comes in, we should answer it with God's word. And we have wrong thoughts, ladies, don't we? And so we should answer those thoughts with God's word. And the battle against the devil really starts in our mind. Our thoughts control what happens next. So that battle starts in our mind. And if we will read God's word, study God's word, memorize God's word, and hide it in our hearts, we can overcome and win that battle. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head. Have you heard that quote? But you can stop him from building a nest. I like that. So don't, again, let the devil take up residence. And then, how are we going to resist sin and teach our children to resist sin? We're going to put on the whole armor of God. And I'd like you to look at that passage where we were reading a moment ago in Ephesians chapter 6. And we started verses 10 and 11. And then verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And then read verse 18 with me. Ready? "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So the first thing we're going to do, as the Bible instructs us, put on the whole armor of God. Linda, would you come and help? This is Linda, and she has a beautiful daughter that just got married, and she's been doing spiritual battle for her children. And her daughter, Julie, was their wedding just 2 weeks ago? July 2nd. Just married off her daughter to a fine young man in our church, and they had a lovely, lovely Christian wedding. And she's going to help demonstrate for us the whole armor of God. I brought an armor with us. We're going to go through each point. Okay. All right. So the first one, if you look back at verse 14, the Bible says, will you read it with me? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So we're to have our loins girt about with truth. All right. Now, truth, that's the opposite of false, right? Okay. So thinking on false things we shouldn't do. Linda, I'll let you put this around, having your loins girt about with truth, if you want to just tie that around. Thinking false things, spreading false rumors, spreading gossip, all that would not be having your loins girt about with truth, would it? And she's got to have her loins girt about with truth. And if you can just tie it in the back or do something, yep. This is just for illustration. Okay. There she goes. Yeah, just tie it like a sash. That's perfect. Okay. And then the next thing we need to have in verse 14, the latter part of it, it says to have on the breastplate of righteousness. Have the breastplate of righteousness. There's no protection there because we're not supposed to run away. We're supposed to charge on with God's word. And we're not supposed to flee as far as running and turning and having anyone stab us. We're supposed to charge on with God's word. And so she needed the protection here, the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. We are to live a righteous life, a clean and a pure life. And in order for our children to resist the temptations of the devil, they need to see us living a pure and clean life and resisting those temptations as well. And then verse 15 in the Bible says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So I have these cute little sandals. There you go. Your feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace. Isn't it an awesome thing how that God gives such great peace? And through his word, he just gives an overwhelming peace and a grace that comes in the midst of trials and in the midst of difficult times. During transition times, God gives great peace. And just run to his word during times like that. And we should run to his word always, but especially in those times when we are in such desperate need of his peace. The Bible says that we should have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then in verse 16, the Bible says, take the shield of faith. There's her shield of faith. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Fight the good fight of faith. The just shall live by faith alone. Aren't we thankful that it was our faith that saved us and just trusting in God to take us to heaven, that it's our faith that gets us there? If we are going to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, we must have a shield and a shield of faith to be able to quench those fiery darts. Ladies, we all worry, don't we? But worry is the opposite of faith. We can't worry about our children. There's a difference between worry and being genuinely concerned about things. There are some things that sometimes we're concerned about that are beyond our control. But we can't worry over every little thing and worry over if they're going to do this right or that right. It's a sin to worry. Put it in God's hands. Trust Him to take care and to protect and to guide and direct our children. Take that shield of faith. And then verse 17 says we are to take the helmet of salvation. She's going to look cute with this helmet. Take the helmet of salvation. I'm so thankful for my salvation. Where would we be without the Lord? And you know, any one of us could have been born in a place where we would have never heard the gospel. Or if you think back to the time that you got saved, any one of us could have been in a different place at that moment. Or I'm so thankful for my upbringing and that I had the privilege to be saved when I was only 6 years old. That's almost 40 years ago that I trusted Christ as Savior. Oh, I'm thankful for my salvation, that God made a way for us to get to heaven. So take the helmet of salvation. And then in verse 17, it says we're to take the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. It's a heavy sword. There you go. Take the sword of the Spirit. God's precious word, this book that we have the freedom to hold in our hand and to take with us everywhere we go. So thankful for God's word. Read God's word. Memorize it and meditate on it. Hide it in our hearts. Get comfortable going to the Father for our children, for our husbands, for every need. Get comfortable going to Him. The devil knows that he can defeat you if he can keep you away from the Word of God. But he can't touch us when we're in God's Word. R.G. Lee said, if you wake up in the morning and don't meet the devil face to face, it just might mean that you're headed in the same direction. And when we're trying to do right, and we're trying to teach our children to do right and to serve the Lord, we are going to have a battle with the devil. But meet him face to face, head on with God's word. Our adversary, the devil, works to hinder us from spending time in God's word and nourishing our soul. He tempts us to do other things instead. He tempts us to watch too much television, and TV is probably one of the worst enemies of Bible study because it takes our time. He tempts us to go to bed too late, and then we're overly tired, and then it's difficult to get up in the morning and spend time in God's word because we've been doing other things. But pick up the sword of the Spirit and the word of God daily. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on their knees. I love that quote. We can overcome the wiles of the wicked one if we will spend time with God and spend time on our knees. And then the last thing the Bible tells us to do in verse 18 there is praying always. Praying always. Do we pray always? I want you to have a picture in your mind now of the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray without ceasing. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He will hear my voice. We need the Lord's help. We need Him in every area of our lives. How dare we try to go through our day without God's help? That's like saying, I don't need you, Lord. I can handle this day on my own. I don't need you to help take care of our household or my children. I don't need you, Lord, to help me make decisions throughout the day. We need the Lord's help in every area of our lives, including even our quiet time with Him. Ask Him for His help as we strive to grow closer to Him. I recently was studying the story of Mary and Martha, and I can relate to Martha because I like to have people in our home, and I'm busy serving. I love to do that kind of thing. I just did that earlier this week. And I can relate to Mary. because I love to spend time with Jesus. But when Jesus, when Mary was sitting at his feet and Martha came in and said, you know, shouldn't Mary be helping me? Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with much things. And then he told her, he didn't reprimand her, but he said, Mary hath chosen the good part. Mary chose what was best. It's better to be sitting at his feet, striving to learn and grow and worship him than to be cumbered about with so much doing. And ladies, many of you are pastors' wives and servants in your churches, and we're busy, aren't we? We're busy doing, and we're so busy doing for others, and sometimes we'll rush off and go into our day just serving and doing so many good things and helping people and working for the Lord, but we haven't chosen the good part, the part that we're supposed to spend time with him, praying and worshiping him, putting on the whole armor of God. Thank you, Linda. You can go back to the back. I don't know if you can walk in all of that armor or not. Thank you so much. And then our last point, we're to realize who Satan is, remove sin and resist sin, and then be ready for the battle. Be ready for the battle. Winning the war for our children is about having the right biblical resources and teaching our children to use them effectively. What is the very best biblical resource? The Word of God. Definitely the Word of God. The most important resource for our family is definitely the Bible. God's Word said it in 2 Timothy 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We as parents have the responsibility to teach our children the Word of God. And we as moms, it is our responsibility to teach those children God's Word. Deuteronomy 6 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What do you suppose that means? When we're in our home, when we're sitting, relaxing, we're supposed to be teaching God's word, teaching those precious words to our children. And not just when we're in our homes, but when we're walking by the way, and use different times and opportunities to teach our children right from wrong and to share God's word with them. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's a great verse for all of us to be reminded of over and over and over again, that those are the things we're supposed to think on, those things that are true and honest and just and pure. And then in the battle for our children, read the Word of God, pray. Prayer brings all of God's power to fight for our family. We certainly can't fight on our own, but when we pray, we have all of God's power there to fight for our family, and prayer brings God's presence into our home. Mark 14:38 says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. We need God's strength and his power, so pray, and then be faithful. Be faithful to the local church, and to whatever church that you've come from, be faithful to that church. We use the phrase around here, three to thrive, and your children need that to be in church. My kids never complain about coming to church. I'm so thankful, and we have an awesome ministry here, but we've brought them up ever since the very, very beginning, that right out of the hospital, they would come to church every Wednesday, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and they love coming to church. And I'm so thankful that they love even being around the church this week and serving in different areas. And for a mom, that's just so awesome when they want to be in church and they want to be here. So bring them up to be faithful in the local church. And that's up to us, isn't it? We don't question on Wednesday night at 6:15, oh, are we going to go to church tonight? No, you just always go to church. There's no question about it. That's where you go. So be faithful. And Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Be faithful to church. As I'm growing in the Lord, and we're all on that journey, and the thing that I would say more than anything is just to guard your relationship with God and to make sure you have that time with Him. And then everything else will fall into place. If our relationship with the Lord is right, then our marriages will be right. Our relationship with our children will be right. Our coworkers, those relationships will be right. Our friendships, our extended family. Everything else will fall into place if our relationship first with the Lord is what it should be. And so keep that priority just like Mary did. We say, is it worth it? This seems like an awful lot of work. Is it worth it to fight the battle against the devil for our children? Absolutely. 100 times over. We're still fighting the battle. And you know, I think we just fight the battle until we get to heaven. But we've already won the war, haven't we? Praise the Lord for that. Our second son graduated high school over a year ago now and came to West Coast Baptist College. And he's out on a tour group now this summer representing the college. He's got a phone call from him this morning. They're in New Hampshire. And when he first went to college here, it's kind of funny, the letter that he wrote, but I'm going to read it for you. And we only live 5 minutes away. And he moved out of the house to come and live in the dorms here. But it's only 5 minutes from home. But he wrote this sweet letter the night that he moved out of the house. And he says, "Dear Mom and Dad, thank you so much for raising me in a Christian family all my life. Thank you for making sure that I get a godly Christian education and have a godly home to live in. God has blessed me by placing me into this family. Wow, these years have really gone by fast. I'm very excited about going off to college, 5 minutes away, and living in the dorms this semester. I can't wait to see what God has for me in these upcoming months and years. Although it's sad I'm moving away, I know it's just for a few months, and I'll be back to eat your food and drive your cars." He's a very big eater. "And turn on your air conditioning," he says. "Just kidding. Please pray that I will discover God's plans for my life and follow Him with my whole heart." Is it worth it? Yeah. "Thank you for always being there for me. Pray that I will hang around the right kind of people, choose the right friends, and date the right girls." I should add, marry the right girl. "But most of all, to stay in God's will. I love you both so much, and I thank God for how He has used you in my life. Love, Zachary." I keep this letter with me because it's so precious, just to remind me that it's worth the battle. He's not there yet. He's still in college. He's going into his second year of school. But praise the Lord, he's on the right path. It's so worth it, ladies. Let's put on the arm of God. Spend time in God's precious word. Spend time meditating and memorizing it. Praying without ceasing. We have so much work to do for God and so little time. Let's make the most of every day. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the truths that we've seen today. Lord, how I desire to know you more and to do your will with my life. I know each one of these ladies feels the same way, or they wouldn't be here today. They're striving to do more and to do their best. Lord, I pray that you would bless our homes. Please help us as we try to rear our children for your honor and glory. Please use each of our children to bring honor to you. Please help them to teach them and train them in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.